This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to episode 209 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 6th of October, 2012. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. And our hosts are going to be Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jacob. And our special, special guest is going to be Backbone BMX.
Yes, indeed, we do. Hey, Steve, what's up, mate?
A lot of things. Just been kind of busy, but, you know, getting it all done.
Cool, mate. Cool. What's been happening during the week?
I recorded a remote newscast this week. I've got another one coming up next week, which is RealmsCon. I'm really looking forward to that. It's like a big thing down here every year since 2005.
Sweet. All right, mate. Enjoy that. We've got Jody on. Hey, Jody.
Hey, hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm going well. How's your week been?
It's been also a busy week. We had PodCamp East, which is a collection of podcasters from all across the East Coast. That was last weekend in Delaware.
Cool.
And I was fortunate enough to go to that, mention Tech Webcast, and a few people, more than a few people knew of our little broadcast here, which was kind of neat.
Oh, nice.
In a couple weeks, Ruger, the amazing Malinois, my doggie, is going to be in a dog show. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of exciting, fun stuff.
That's cool.
Best of show?
What will it win?
I hope so.
What's the prize if it wins?
Well, he's showing for his championship title. And from what I gather, it depends on how many dogs are actually going to be showing up. He competes against other Malinois. Oh, and nice. He competes primarily against the other male Malinois, and if he wins that, he'll compete against the females, and that would be best of breed if he won both of those. So he stands a good chance, Steve. Thank you. But
all right.
Yeah,
I hope he wins. Does he still want to get the cat?
Yes, he still wants to eat the cat.
Oh my god, that's crazy. I've got Jacob from Florida. Hey, Jacob, what's up, mate?
Nothing. And the sky. That's what's up.
Right, okay, I didn't mean when you say that, but welcome back on the show, mate. You've been on here before.
Yes.
And you got some questions for Tyson, and welcome, Tyson.
Of course.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you, mate. That's all good, buddy. Your first time on a podcast, is that correct?
It is the first time on a podcast,
yeah. Nice, mate. So. Good stuff. Now, you run a website called Backbone BMX.
That's right, yeah.
All right. Yep. All right, we'll have a chat to you in a minute about that. Jay, you got some news? First, we'll jump into some news first.
Yes, I'm sorry, I muted myself so you wouldn't hear me.
Oh, okay.
But yes, we have some news. First of all, it has to do with privacy tips, and assume that everything online could be public. There's been a lot of privacy kind of faux pas that have happened, and collectively, the internet freaked out after rumors swirling around that Facebook accidentally began posting private messages to users' public timelines. So apparently this did not happen, but nonetheless, the important thing to take away from this is to recognize that even if you post something in a private message to somebody, the bottom line is that anything that you post online is not private.
Oh,
so
wow.
I don't know if that's news for anyone. But
that is news to me. That's crazy.
That is not private?
That's crazy. Crazy.
It's like private public message, right?
It is, yeah.
Right.
I think I might have just been put off Facebook for good now.
Truly.
Yeah.
And then you guys remember a couple weeks ago when GoDaddy went down? At least there was a lot of conjecture about whether it was due to a hacking attempt by Anonymous. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, apparently, and I have talked to people at GoDaddy since then, apparently it was not due to a hacking attempt. However, something went wrong within their own system, which I'm not sure whether that's better or worse, to be honest. I'm kind of thinking if they were hacked by Anonymous, it would not have been their fault. But the fact that their server went down, you know, that was kind of bad. But what's happening, though, is that people are looking to them and saying, hey, they handled it really, really well. And there's some tips for handling a crisis situation that may be of value. One is to admit that you were wrong and say, hey, you know, we messed up. And GoDaddy did do that. I thought it was a little bit late, but nonetheless, they did admit it. Second of all is to let people know when something is serious and, you know, and that you take it seriously. In your attempt to fix the problem. So again, I mean, it was kind of a while, I think, before GoDaddy really did respond. But once they did, I think that their communication was decent. Another thing is to explain what happened. And again, everybody thought it was due to Anonymous, but they did come back and say it was their own problem and that they had implemented additional measures to fix it to reassure the customer. I'm not sure whether reassurance is going to work in most instances. If your email goes down and your website goes down and you're hearing all kinds of things flying across the internet, it may not be quite that reassuring when the hosting company says, don't worry about it. they say to repeat your track record and suggest that you are committed to learning from what happened and to give remuneration. So they did give a very small amount back to each customer. Again, who knows what the amount of loss was to all the websites that were down for some for several hours. And also the fact that somebody tries to access a website and can't get through, it kind of puts a shadow of doubt on the credibility of the company whose website went down. And then finally, they say don't sweep it under a rug. So I don't. So again, I mean, it was a really bad situation, but what's happening, though, is that people are saying that GoDaddy handled it well. I don't know, were any of you guys victims of that particular situation, or were you involved in that?
No.
Okay.
Well, I do have a question. Didn't Anonymous supposedly claim responsibility for it, or sometimes you don't know if it's really them or not. It could have just been, you know, some other person saying this. Or to tell you, I don't know if it was for this or another incident.
No, you're right, Steve. Yes, and Anonymous did. There was a person who single-handedly said that they were the one who was responsible. And in fact, a lot of people were, and I was one of them, were tweeting to this person who took responsibility and saying, "No, dude, you know, you think that you're picking on GoDaddy, but the reality is you're messing up life for all of these small businesses all over the world, and they should not be the target." Then, you know, what GoDaddy said was, "No, it wasn't a hacking attempt. It was our own server malfunction." And like I said, I don't know if that's better or worse. I kind of, you know, I mean, if it was a hacking attempt, you figure, well, you know, even with the best security, sometimes a very persistent hacker might be able to get through. But no, it was their own equipment failure.
All right. Next story, JD.
Next story. You know, today celebrates the 1-year unfortunate anniversary of Steve Jobs' death. And the conjecture is, what is going on at Apple? Are they going to be okay? Are they starting to fumble? And this is an article that from ZDNet where they say Apple is showing vulnerability a year after Jobs' death. In summary, the sales have not been affected, but brand loyalty can only keep the company at the top for a short term unless it comes up with some dramatic improvements in their products. And the question is whether Apple is going to continue to be able to have the profound level of innovation that they did during Steve Jobs. Tim Cook is not Steve Jobs. I think, you know, the question then is, because they really did change the world with the devices that they came out with. You know, if you think of the iPad and you think of the iPhone and the ability to, you know, swipe across the keyboard, and, you know, like when they came out with it, it was really, you know, visionary. So the question then is there anybody at Apple that kind of can take them to the next level and where that would go? I'm curious what you guys think. Do you think that Apple's going to continue to innovate as they have?
I reckon they will. I reckon Apple will still keep going strong and keep making cool products and iPhones and stuff.
Actually, I got something to say. Steve. I'm actually reading the story, you know, beforehand. I don't see Tim Cook necessarily as a visionary as nearly as much as maybe Steve Jobs. I think he chose a good CEO, though. Now, I think Steve Jobs is still – I think we're safe for at least another year, because Steve Jobs still had his hand, I think, from we getting indications like the iPhone 5 and getting away from Google that we're seeing with YouTube and also Apple Maps. I think that was Steve Jobs' idea as well. Yep. So I think we're safe for at least another year, and then I'm not sure after that. Perhaps we're going to see what's going to go for the future. Hopefully they're going to bring in somebody that thinks outside the box, perhaps maybe even more than Tim Cook. We'll see.
All right. What about you, Jake? What's your view on this?
Yeah, what I'm basically saying is, I got out of it. Yeah, they made the iPods a little too quickly.
All right.
Because how long was the iPhone 4, iPod 4 out for?
I'm not sure, mate. A year or something?
Yeah. Usually, if they're going to use a device, they should at least wait like 5 or 6 years before putting out a new one.
Oh, that just sucks, mate. That's just a bad answer. Tyson, do you have a view on this, mate? Probably not.
Nope.
No, what I was saying is so they can better better quality stuff.
All right.
It seems like every year there's new products coming out. And in fact, before the holidays, they will be coming out with the iPad Mini or whatever they're going to be calling it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the question then is, like the iPhone 5, I think, was envisioned during Steve Jobs' lifetime. But, you know, will they, like, what will iPhone 6 look like? And will it be that much better, different, new, novel, unique compared to all of the innovations leading up to this point? So we've yet to see. Next in the news, we have a story out of the Huffington Post. And for those of us in the United States, we had a momentous evening on Wednesday night when the two presidential candidates entered into a debate. And to be honest, you know, it was kind of interesting. I mean, we all have our conjecture about who perhaps won and, you know, who looked a little bit lost during the whole debate. The one thing that was kind of funny in social media, at one point, Romney was talking about the tax burden and, you know, his premises that he's not going to increase taxes. And yet the money has to come from somewhere. And that means that there'll have to be cuts in existing programs. And one of the programs that he mentioned would be up for being cut is the public broadcast system, which owns the property Sesame Street and Big Bird. So one of the trending things on Twitter, on Facebook, and we're still seeing all over the internet, is poor little Big Bird waking up the night after or the morning after and saying, yo, did I miss anything? So... But, you know, everybody likes to take fun and poke fun at the presidential candidates. So in the show notes, and if we get a chance, you know, you can post it. But there is a songified version of the presidential debate, and it's actually pretty funny.
Cool.
Regardless of which side you're on, it's humorous. So.
All right. Any more stories, Jody?
That's it for tonight.
That's it. Thanks for the stories. They were quite fun. Very fun, actually. We got Tyson on. Hey, Tyson.
Hey, Brad. How are you?
How you going, buddy?
Yeah, good.
Now, listen, you run a website called Backbone BMX.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us, what are you doing there? Well, tell us about it.
Well, basically, it's just like a BMX store.
Yep.
We're just like a BMX-only store.
Nice.
That has a physical shop, but we, you know, got to keep up with the times and do the whole online thing as well.
Sweet.
And a big part of what we do is to provide more of like a team aspect to the site rather mm-hmm. than just, you know, products, just like a shop and nothing else. So
definitely.
Yeah, no, that's a big part of what we're about, like good in
stuff.
General.
So. Do you send stuff around the world or just in within Australia?
We have sent some stuff to we've sent a lot of stuff to the States and to Canada,
okay.
And to New Zealand as well, but yeah, primarily it's just Australia and New Zealand.
Sweet.
Yeah, right. It's more like special orders and stuff to America. So
all right, good stuff. And what do you do on the site?
I built this site and I basically just like day-to-day stuff. It's just running the site and putting products and stuff up and yeah, also like news posts and web cool. videos and stuff like that. So
all right, okay, well Jacob, you got a question?
How long did it take to build the you know, the store web- and stuff like that?
Well, it kind of took like a couple of months. I was pretty young when I did it, and I don't know, it was just like a pretty big learning process for me. And then from there, I don't know, it's just always sort of like fiddling around and working with stuff to make it a little better. But yeah, so that's
cool.
Pretty much it.
And you own the website, don't you?
No, I have just been managing the store. Yeah.
All right.
So basically, I was the reason why the website started.
Okay, cool.
And, yeah.
Good stuff. All right. And how long has it been around for, the store? How long has the backbone been around for?
It's been around since 2005. So, yeah, it's been around for seven and a half years or something.
Good stuff. Now, you actually made a bike for one of the Olympics this year, didn't you?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
The number one racer in the world at mm-hmm. the time, Caroline Buchanan, she went to the Olympics and had to build up her bike and stuff, or two bikes actually. She had replica bikes.
Nice.
That was pretty interesting.
Cool. And did she win or what did she win on?
She actually won every single heat and the time trial leading up to the finals, and then unfortunately just got a bad gate start and came fifth. So
that sucks.
Yeah, she was riding amazingly, and I mean that's just how BMX racing goes.
Yeah, it does. Steve, you got a question?
Actually, I got basically two.
Go ahead.
Now, I guess you said you're primarily a store for like BMX bikes and stuff like that, but do you do like have your own team that competes, or you sponsor another team that does this?
Yeah, so we've got a team. Basically, with BMX, there's sort of two facets to it. There's like the whole competition side, and then there's also the side where you might just make videos or put up photos and stuff, and basically your reputation and popularity helps the team that you ride for, you know, keep going. And we just sponsor a lot of guys that mainly just ride that second style, like where they'll just shoot for video or shoot for photos. But we've got a couple of guys that go into competitions and stuff. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff.
So what kind of because we talked about it during the pre-show, you use for video, I think, hopefully I say this right, GoPro or ProGo or
GoPro. We've also got a Panasonic HPX 170 that we film, which is like a the HD camcorder, I guess.
Yeah.
And then also we film on a couple of Canon 5D Mark IIs, like the digital SLRs. So that's what we use. And then either Final Cut or Premiere, depending on whether it's me or another guy that works here, Brendan. That's the editing software that we use.
Cool. JD, any questions?
Yeah, I'm curious. Have there been a lot of technology changes in the BMX equipment?
Yeah, there's been heaps, actually. It's pretty interesting. Over the past sort of 5 years, there's been a real shift in the whole lightweight versus strength ratio for BMX parts. And then, so that's been pretty interesting, actually, to go through that and see. Yeah, was that what your question was?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I'm curious, too, how much do you think it is the equipment and how much do you think it is the rider in terms of, like, a ratio? Is it like a 50-50 proposition? Can a not as good rider do a lot better if they have really, you know, a decent bike or equipment?
Yeah. Like, definitely it's more like a 90% rider, 10% bike sort of deal. I mean, I know a lot of guys that go through a bike and will put lots of titanium parts and lots of lightweight parts, and the difference between that and someone that just rides a reasonably stock setup isn't really that much. You know, it might help with some technical aspects to their riding because they're able to throw the bike around a little more, but it's not really that great, I would say.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Actually, that's one of my questions. Go ahead, another Steve. Question I just thought, because I know these bicycles are made of certain alloys. Obviously, they probably need to be lightweight and strong, something like a aluminum alloy. You mentioned titanium, which I thought as well, but I think titanium's a lot more expensive.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, they use that in a lot of the smaller parts, like the bolts. And, you know, there's the crank that goes through the center spindle is titanium, and spokes and stuff like that, because it's quite strong. And there are all those little parts that actually weigh the most, you know, like...
Like the major gearing system is titanium?
Yeah, so, yeah, not the actual arms for where the pedals would sit on, but, like, they're still chromoly, which is like a blended alloy with steel. But, yeah, just like the bolts and stuff like that, they would use titanium on sometimes.
Cool. Jake, you got a question for Tyson?
Yes, I would. I do.
Ask him, mate.
What I'm basically asking is, have you had any superstar BMX riders come to the shop?
Yeah, we have had a lot. We've had a lot of the number one riders in the world come to the shop a lot. Also, there's a guy that rides for us. His name's Cam White. You can Google him if you want, but you've got a big competition over there called the Dew Tour. It's like the Mountain Dew Action Sports Tour or something. And he won that. So he was the best rider in the world in 2010 or something. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
How about the competitions? Do you like have racing, like one just for racing and then one just for like tricks?
Yeah, that's right. So there'll be like one for racing. There'll be one for, you know, like the dirt jumps, which I guess kind of looks like a racetrack, but the jumps are steeper and everyone can do tricks a lot more. And then there's like a skate park facet to it as well. So, yeah, it's basically, I would say it's split between freestyle BMX, which is the trick riding, and then racing.
Cool. And what do you get into, Tyson? What do? You get into that sort of stuff?
Yeah. I think I was just on that video just before.
Oh, actually. You were?
Yeah. So, okay. I ride the trick style of riding.
Cool.
But I grew up racing, so it's kind of a good foundation to learn how to
That's
ride
good.
Properly.
That's good, mate. BMX racing as well?
Yeah, just grew up riding it until a certain point, and you kind of got to make a decision whether you want to go to the gym and work out and try and ride fast, or whether you just want to ride for fun and try and go as high as you can.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Now, what about, I'm looking at a photo here. You got a jump pointing towards the water here. What? Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. That's I was just over in Austin in Texas.
Yep.
And they had like it was called the Fun Aqua Olympics.
Cool.
And they had a lake jump there, so that was pretty fun.
Oh, nice. How long were you over in America for? Did you like it?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was my second time there, and I was there for a month and traveled around for BMX.
Sweet.
It's a pretty good spot to ride, or a couple of spots to ride there. So
nice. Good stuff. Now, what sort of stuff do you sell in the shop?
You name it. We got everything to do with BMX bikes, you know, like parts and complete bikes as well.
Cool.
And then as well as that, a lot of clothing from, you know, BMX specific or BMX oriented brands and shoes and everything. So,
and yeah, you've also got your own brand too, Backbone. You got t-shirts on those, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. We do the shirts, shirts and hats and hoodies and stuff like that. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Do you get support from some of these manufacturers, like if you need a special custom-made bike or whatever?
I ride for a brand called United, and they actually make a frame that I really like the geometry of anyway. But there's definitely a couple of team riders that ride custom frames that they get them made for them, just with the exact geometry that they like. So, yeah, right. I mean, a lot of guys probably ride pretty similar sort of bikes, so there's not really a lot of custom stuff going around.
But what about injuries? Tyson, have you had many bad injuries, mate?
Definitely.
Tell us about it.
I have had a couple.
Yeah.
In 2007, I crashed without wearing a helmet at that time and fractured the back of my skull got like a bleeding brain.
Oh, shit.
And was
God. Yeah, I was in hospital for 2 weeks and couldn't speak properly and stuff. So that was pretty interesting. It took me 9 months to get back onto my bike. And then a few years later, I crashed again. I was wearing a helmet, but fractured the front of my skull and broke my eye socket and my cheekbone. And yeah, that was pretty.
Oh wow!
Wow,
pretty crazy.
It's crazy, so. And you keep doing it though. You never got put off it. You keep
the
doing
first
it.
First thing you do when you wake up is how long until I'm better again? So yeah, I'm right.
Yeah. yeah.
You just got to find. I mean, I definitely wear the best helmet that I can wear nowadays.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, you just learn from your mistakes, and I guess the risk, the rewards are way better than the risk.
What sort of rewards do you get?
Just that self-satisfaction, you know?
Mm.
It's one of the best feelings you can get is when you do anything, regardless of whether it's BMX or not, you do something and you accomplish that goal, and it's the best feeling.
I know what you mean. All right, Jacob, any more questions for Tyson?
Not right now.
Well, tell us about your bike, though. You had one, didn't you, Jacob? Tell us about that bike you had, mate.
I used to have a Diamondback BMX bike.
Do you know them, Tyson?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What did you do with it, Jacob?
I found it under my house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we had one of those flaps under the house.
Yeah.
My dad opened it up, and there's a bike frame and an actual bike still together.
Oh, cool.
Not even rusted.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's good on you, mate. Do you still ride it today, Jacob?
I wish I had it. My friend still has it.
Is that your cousin?
Huh?
Your cousin did she?
No, that's one of my friends is Sean Runyon.
Who's your cousin?
Brandy.
Wow. All right. Joe, any more questions?
Yeah, I guess, Tyson, do you have any advice that you would give to the young budding BMXers out there?
I mean, I definitely would just keep riding. And a lot of one question that we get the most from young guys is how do you get sponsored and can I get sponsored? We get that a lot because we're a pretty big store, I guess. And the main thing that I would say is just keep riding and having fun and that type of stuff just happens. Like, I never really thought that I would be working in the store, but I definitely knew that I wanted to be around when this store opened. And, you know, that was almost the store opened 7 years ago, and 6 years ago I got my job because I just used to come around and hang out with the guy that owns it. So,
cool.
You know, if you're around and you're just having fun and you like it enough, like, things will happen. And also definitely wear a helmet.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
So you don't really sponsor anyone on the spot, do you, Tyson?
No, I mean, a big part of why I think Backbone is so successful is because We like to get to know the people that we sponsor, and you know, we kind of do the whole question of, would you be friends with this person if they didn't ride a BMX bike? And if the answer is yes, then I think you've got a pretty good combination for a person that you'd sponsor and also a person that you want to have around.
Definitely.
And, yeah.
Definitely. And what sort of technology do you get into when you're making these videos and stuff?
Basically, I really like a really plain style of filming. Mm-hmm. I think it just makes it look more like BMX to me. So yeah, I'll just go out and film with a camcorder. I don't really like filming with the digital SLR. I think it gives it a bit too much of a photographic look and doesn't have as much depth.
Mm.
So I really like filming like that. And then I just put on some metal and go for it in the editing room. So
yeah, definitely. And apparently you make all your own jumps and stuff. I'm looking at a photo here of a photo.
Yeah.
You make all your own jumps and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a big part of what I like to ride is jumps, like dirt jumps.
How long does that take you to make?
We've been digging at a spot that we have now that's been going for about a year and a half, so.
Cool.
Pretty constant there.
Is that open to anyone or is that private?
It will be. It's actually, we're building a public dirt park for everyone to ride, but at the moment we've just got a gated area.
Okay.
So we can kind of control the level of rider that tries to hit these jumps, because it can kind of get it a little dangerous.
Right.
If you just let anyone try and go for it over the first jump or something.
Yep. Jacob, have you done anything like this before?
No, but I've hurt myself on a bike.
What'd you do?
Face plant.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That was painful.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my friends did. He tried to do it on my mountain bike. It was smaller than the mountain bike itself.
Yeah, so are you.
No, he was younger than me.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. What else, Tyson? Do you get into, like, yourself? Like, you have an iPhone and stuff? You use the iPad, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Do you know that sort of stuff?
I actually do a lot of sort of graphic art and use, like, a Wacom tablet and stuff.
Nice.
To draw a lot of the stuff that I do. So,
cool.
Yeah, that's...
Good stuff.
I was actually pretty interested when they just brought out the iPhone 5. My girlfriend's got one, and I'm not too sold on it yet. But
yeah, I've got one. I love it. It's a great biggest. I got the 4G and stuff. It's faster.
Yeah, right. There you go.
So that's a pretty cool phone indeed. And you have an iPad? Do you have an iPad or?
I don't have an iPad. No, just got the iPhone 4.
Oh, iPhone 4. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. Any questions before Tyson goes?
I think that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Tyson, you want to say before we go, mate? Are you open every day or 5 days a week?
Yeah, we're open Monday through Friday, 11 till 6. You've got to start a little late so you can have a ride in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then 10 till 3 on Saturday. And
cool.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to check out the website, it's just www.backbonebmx.com.au.
Good stuff, mate. And go and buy a Backbone t-shirt. Great t-shirts. I've actually bought one off there before. They're pretty nice t-shirts.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Actually, with the Backbone logo, you made that, didn't you? You made that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is that a big job to put on a t-shirt? Like, is that much money to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it always is a fair amount of money because we try and get a decent amount of quantities because we try and keep them around, but they tend to be pretty popular.
Yeah, they are.
But yeah, we have to. We have to buy like, you know, a couple of hundred at a time, so it's always pretty expensive. But yeah, we got a good screen printer that's local that we have a good relationship with, so
sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. All right, that's it. Jade, you wanna let us see before we go? Questions for
Tyson? Yeah, Tyson, where can we find you on Twitter and are you on LinkedIn and Facebook?
Yeah, so for Facebook, it's just Facebook/ Backbone BMX. And then actually that's with a capital B on both the back and the bone.
I'll put a link in that.
And also we're on Twitter at BackboneBMX, all lowercase. And Instagram as well at BackboneBMX.
Yeah, Instagram, so, great stuff.
Yeah, follow the Instagram feed if you're keen. We've got all the team putting up photos as well. So
I've actually seen a photo of your dog there a while back. Nice dog.
Yeah. That's Riss, the owner's dog. So.
Oh, okay. Nice dog.
Are you on Pinterest as well or not yet?
No, I'm not on. We're not on Pinterest. So
okay.
All right. Hey Tyson, do you do many giveaways, mate? Randomly or not?
We do actually. We've got an Instagram giveaway right now for the month of October. We're doing like a, if you hashtag Backbone October and tag in Backbone, we're going to give away some gift vouchers for the store.
Sweet.
We just always do little giveaways on Facebook and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Cool. All right. Steve?
You want to you can find me here on Justin TV. /LinuxCoolDude, and of course my Twitter, which is Tetterbox_live.
Yep, and you can find me at Brad Oz and at Tech Webcast. Jake, where can I get you at, mate?
Well, I closed down the podcast Overlord.
Yeah, that's gone.
Yeah, I'm back to my old one.
What happened to Podcast Overlord?
Well, it got boring after a while.
Okay. All right.
I had fun while it was done.
Yeah. What about Twitter? Where can I get you on Twitter?
Jazzbot32669.
All right. Jody, where can I get you on Twitter and Facebook?
You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept, SUNSWEPT. Find me at my website, which is webmarcom.net. Or you can find me all the usual places as either Jody Rains or as Webmarcom.
And Jody with a Y. And you actually want a podcast this morning too, Jody, talking about Tech Webcast.
Yes. I was on Frederick, is Frederick Today, which is a out of Frederick, Virginia, I guess it is, with Craig Shipp and representing Tech Webcast, which was kind of fun.
Good stuff.
Yes.
And Craig loves goats, by the way. You didn't know that. He loves goats.
Okay.
He has a goat. He has two goats, actually.
We actually did not discuss goats.
Oh really? So. Well, next time you should ask him about the goat. He's got two goats.
I will ask.
And thanks, Tyson, for coming on, mate.
No worries, Brad. Thanks.
You're
a
legend.
Lot.
You're a legend, mate. Thanks for coming on. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace.